This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutin with me, Tan Chung Han. And top business stories of the day, we have export growth, we have salaries, we have a proposed acquisition, and also cigarettes.
maybe in that order. All right, let's start with some export figures here, because apparently that, according to one line in some local media reports, there's rumor going around that Malaysia's economy is set to tank in September. But, you know, here we have the numbers here, and I don't think that's going to be the case, not by a long shot. If you look at exports alone, so we've got March figures that came out after our show ended on Friday. So exports in Malaysia for the month of March grew 24.1% on year. So compared to March of 2016, this past March, exports grew over 24% on year. If you look at imports, though, how about this? 39.4% on year growth. So we've got double digit growth for our external trade, you know, signaling, you know, a rebound from last year's lackluster numbers, both in terms of external demand, you know, for Malaysia's products, and also internal demand, hence that 39% increase in imports.
But is that a bad thing? Is it we have an imbalance between our imports and exports, or should we be reading it as part of the, you know, the way in which manufacturing works, because we are part of a production chain?
Good point. You know, so that's why many economists are looking at the current account surplus. Now, we are expected to still have a current account surplus and a trade surplus as well. In other words, we are still expected to export more than we are expected to import. But nevertheless, if you look at the numbers from the first quarter of this year, you know, from January to March, you know, Malaysia's exports grew 21% on year. You know, so you have that kind of significant rebound from 2016's numbers. So, this also then prompted the trade minister, Dato' Sri Mustafa Muhammad, saying that, you know, Malaysia is on track to achieve that 5% export growth for the whole of 2017.
Because we also have, and we talked about the French elections and its impact on the EU, of course, which is a major trading partner with Malaysia.
That's right.
But we also have other, just to give you some numbers, ASEAN, our growth trade within ASEAN grew from about 23%. With China, it grew 39%. With the US, 11%. And Japan, 18%. So very healthy numbers there in all those different markets that we export to.
Yeah, that's right. And when you consider how last year the US was our fourth largest trading partner, as of the first quarter of this year, they have now jumped to third. So perhaps, you know, that could be a signal of, you know, recovery in demand, you know, from these developed nations. Now you raise a really good point, because here we are now, you know, almost 9 a.m. on a Monday after the French elections, and we now know that Macron has won, you know, as opposed to Le Pen, right? Now, this French election was cited by many, many market observers and economists and even central banks, saying that this is a key risk. Even Bank Negara in their annual report also talked about one of the downside risks to Malaysia's economy this year is perhaps the further reverse from globalization that we are seeing in developed economies. But now that we are on the other side of the French elections, we know that Le Pen and her, you know, efforts to pull the France out of the EU, she no longer has that platform. You know, so perhaps that somewhat alleviates those geopolitical concerns that central banks have.
What about other economic data that we can look forward to?
Yeah, good point. So this Friday, May 12th, we've got monetary policy coming up. So the central bank will decide on the overnight policy rate. So what does that mean for the average layman on the street? That's, you know, if you got higher purchase loans, you know, home loans, any other debt, very often they are pegged against the benchmark interest rate. Economists basically are widely expecting Bank Negara to stand pat at that 3% OPR. No change there, unless they're trying to preempt something. But generally speaking, they're expecting it to stay at 3%. Looking forward to May 19th, though, we've got overall first quarter GDP data. The ones that we were referring to earlier were just the external trade, like export imports. So we've got first quarter GDP data coming out on May 19th.
Yeah, moving forward, also in terms of indicators, the barometers of the growth of or the health of our economy, salaries, apparently they're up 6.3% since last year.
And this is where I ask you, Sharad. did
my salary go up? Well, keeping up with the inflation, I think, is one thing. But of course, we've had I think this is where these rumors pick up some sort of speed is the fall in the Malaysian currency in the ringgit. And that's because it's undercut any kind of rise in salaries that people might have gotten over the last year.
Somewhat. But if you compare that 6.3% gain in salaries compared to the 2.1% inflation that we saw last year. So, you know, you could argue that you have, you know, your wages outpace inflation by 4 percentage points, right? So you have that argument there.
But what about imported goods? If you go to, you know, a supermarket and you buy that jam that's from, you know, Europe somewhere, it's going to cost at least 30% more, isn't it?
Yo, sure. So Atta's buying jam from Europe. Well, what's wrong with jam from Cameron Highlands, man?
Come on. Or Klang, it's all, where you're from.
We make jam in Klang? I don't know. But yeah, I think this is an interesting survey that came out from, or a set of numbers that came out of the Department of Statistics on Friday. So it's, you know, not just that headline figure of 6.3% on your growth for salaries last year, but then if you break it down, apparently, I guess it's important for us to note that the median salary for last year is up to 1,703 ringgit compared to the 1,600 ringgit that they saw in 2015. But apparently another big factor is the gender, though. So the gender of the employees. Male employees apparently got a median monthly salary of 1,721 ringgit a month versus female employees at 1,685 ringgit a month.
So about 100 ringgit less than a guy.
Yeah.
A woman. So because that, of course, would
or
be...
about 15 to 21, about 36, yeah, 40 ringgit or so, yeah.
Okay. Well, what about the question of wages depending on your educational attainment?
Yeah, certainly. You know, so once again, the numbers highlighting that, you know, hey, kids, stay in school. Tertiary education, you know, will give an employee twice the amount what employees with just a secondary education would have. And so you've got the median monthly salary for someone with a tertiary that's up to about 3,274. You know, that's about what, double the national or the average median mean salary versus someone with just a secondary education, that's only about 1,600 though. You know, so education is important. You know, once again we are seeing that wage gap in between the genders. I think that's a key part, and it's obviously something that policymakers will have to look at. I mean, to be fair, you know, they have made or proposed a lot of initiatives and rolled out a lot of programs in order to try and reduce that wage gap, not just between the genders, but also between the when you see the rural and urban divide, right? I think that's important as well. When you consider how, and this brings us full circle, going back to what you mentioned earlier, Sharad, that inflation, right? If you look at last year's figures, though, I mean, inflation was, the most recent inflation numbers, I believe, was for February or March now. I can't remember. I apologize for that. But you do see how highly urbanized states, you know, there be, you know, Selangor, you know, Penang, Johor, Melaka, and even territories like KL, Putrajaya, the increase in, say, the food and non-alcoholic beverages, that was significantly higher compared to, you know, less urbanized states.
Okay, so this is the food and non-alcoholic beverages index is an index of costs. So is that correct? And so what we're seeing is the increase in costs food and drink.
Okay. Food and non-alcoholic beverages. But then, you know, nevertheless, if you look at, say, Philip Morris, right, we've got this story in the Edge Financial Daily today, how they are looking to shift its focus to cheaper cigarettes. So it's, you know, so you have all these, you know, industry players who are having to adjust their pricing and their product offerings, you know, based on, you know, these kind of economic challenges that they are seeing.
Okay, so Philip Morris and cigarette producers have been very unhappy because of the existence of a black market in cigarettes where their duties are not paid. And, you know, and because this is, you know, harks back to the question of enforcement. But how is this strategy, in some sense, good, a good strategy? I mean, why are they playing with a market that in some ways is illegal?
Well, Well, I mean, they are having to try and prop up their revenue and profits in a somewhat. So, you know, this apparently that cheaper offering of like, I think, 12 ringgit for a 20 stick pack. You know, I think that's their strategy moving forward. Because if you consider how over the last few years, you know, go back to 2014, 12% increase in cigarette excise. 2015, GST came in, right? November 2015, another 40% hike in cigarette taxes. Last year, more taxes as well. So when you have that, it's not just about enforcement, it's about policies as well, and also trying to combat how much market share is being eroded due to illegal cigarettes.
Okay, we're going to be coming up to the news shortly. Just remember, at 9:30 on Pressing Matters, we're going to take up one of these other stories that's in the news, which is Media Prima and a proposal to buy up units from Rev Asia, basically a unit of the Catcher Group. So that's coming up. And of course, after the news, we're going to have the opening numbers in the stock market and more analysis. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.